Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Our senior Broncos writer, John Clayton, who you can find his work daily at denverfan.com, has a piece up right now that says Pat Shurmur is leaning more towards Teddy Bridgewater rather than Drew Lock. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Go ahead and outline your – well, first of all, thank you for being here with us on a Friday and being flexible with us this week. Go ahead and lay out your thoughts on what you wrote.
And again, it's not, it's the thought, not necessarily, because obviously Pat Shurmur is not going to make a decision on that yet. Vic Fangio is not going to make a decision. But I hate when you go back to the Wednesday press conference and hear Pat talking about the experience, the quick decision making, all the things that Teddy Bridgewater offers, and the fact that, you know, they were together briefly in Minnesota. Now again, Shurmur was there with the quarterbacks, but then that's the year that he got the bad knee injury. And so they didn't have a lot of time to be able to, you know, they obviously had an off season together. But still, I think what you're looking at is that, you know, this has worked out very well for the entire team because Drew is doing better. And that was the mission in getting Teddy Bridgewater or a quarterback to compete. But you still get the feeling that, you know, Teddy has the edge because of the experience, the fact that he's been in the playoffs, all those different things. But it's still going to be open competition. It's going to be 50-50 all the way probably until the last preseason game. But I just think right now the fact that Shurmur knows him, they know everything. I mean, he likes what he sees so far. The rust is now off. You know, trying to pick up the new things on the offense. I just think that he has the edge.
John, looking at the offseason and what a lot of teams have done, just doing away with mini camp altogether, the Broncos yesterday canceled the practice, had a little field day. What do you make of that? You've covered the NFL for a long time. NFL's offseason's already shorter than it's ever been. And now teams are just like saying, you know, whatever to mini camp and take a day off here. Let's finish it early and have a little field day. Like, what do you make of that? Why is it all of a sudden becoming more of a trend, it seems like, around the NFL?
Well, it was funny because remember the Broncos were the first team that came out and said that they were going to boycott. And sure enough, all the rookies showed up. And then as time went on, I mean, there was more than 80 players out there on the field. So very few players actually stayed away. But I think you can see it's a struggling match league-wide because, you know, now that the league has gone to 17 games, and the fact that the players like the veteran players like the idea of not having an off-season program last year with the pandemic, that they want to shorten the amount of time. And I would have to think the compromise on this is ultimately going to be, you know, you can have the rookies in for the 10 OTAs. You still have the mandatory mini camp, and then you kind of space it out with the veterans, with Zoom, and you cut down so they don't have to necessarily be on the field for 10 OTAs. But, you know, that's what the plan is. But you can see a lot of teams were able to go ahead and, you know, have more than 70, 80 players out there.
Earlier in the week, John and John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com, joining us live here on Stokely and Zach on a Friday. Jay Glazer of Fox Sports said earlier this week on the Pat McAfee show that Aaron Rodgers definitely still wants out of Green Bay and that a team like the Broncos specifically should keep on calling them. But a package actually has never been discussed because the Packers haven't got that far on their end of the conversation. What do you make of that report, and have you heard any type of movement here?
It goes exactly the way I'm hearing it, too, is that there's no doubt that Rodgers prefers Denver, and Denver's going to be interested. And now it's just a matter of the waiting game to see where the Packers are. That's why, in fact, I'm curious to see what comes out of Green Bay today, because each Friday, you know, Mark Murphy does seem to say something. 2 weeks ago, he said that he's Rodgers is splitting the Packer fan base. Last week, he came out and says, well, I know the late Ted Thompson used to tell me that Aaron Rodgers was a complicated fella, and that angered Rodgers so much that he wore the shirt on that Tom Brady promotion that on the golf tournament, and it's like that he was angry about that. And I says, because I said, I'm offended. So I think that all that continues to do now is maybe point the Packers in the position that maybe they're trying to pull down the fan base to get more angry at Aaron Rodgers. So if they can make that move, you know, sometime toward the end of training camp or the beginning of the season, that would happen.
And, John, when do you think the move would be made? Do you think the move would be made between now and the start of training camp, during the season? Like, when do you think it could be made, and when do you think it's probably, hey, if it hasn't happened by now, it's probably not going
to
happen?
Yeah, I would have to think the earliest would be maybe that last preseason week, you know, just to be able to see, you know, where they stand with Jordan Love, where they stand as far as, you know, being willing to take the phone calls. And if not, then it goes into the regular season. I still keep bringing up, you know, the Carson Palmer thing from 2011 when he didn't want to go back to Cincinnati. You know, he had to wait all the way to October, right before the trade deadline, to be able to get the trade to Oakland. You know, I don't know if it's going to go that far, because if you're Green Bay and you don't have Aaron Rodgers, and you know you're going to have to start breaking the team up at the end of the year, that you better get some draft choice compensation to be able to do that.
John Clayton joining us here. We've heard just crickets in the Deshaun Watson case. Nothing. After so much noise for so long, do you think this silence lends itself that a settlement could be getting worked on? Have you heard anything on that front?
No, because again, when you're talking settlement, you're talking 22 settlements, and that's going to be tough to do. The more I look at the Watson situation, unless he goes back to Houston, which I don't think he will, he may not play this year. You know, because, you know, they can put him on the exempt list. I mean, he can still get some money, not have to pay back anything, all those different things. There may be some things he has to pay back. But you kind of get the idea, because, again, nothing in the case, unless they settle the 22 lawsuits, is going to happen until, you know, February at the earliest, because that's the next time. On the February 22nd, he's going to have the deposition, and without the deposition, you can't have the case. I mean, this case very well could go to next spring, if not longer. And so with 22 cases, it's really kind of tied things up and put Watson in a position where I don't know if he's going to play this year.
Thank you, John. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks.
There he goes, John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com. You can check out his piece that's up right now, saying that he believes that Pat Shurmur is leaning more towards Teddy Bridgewater rather than Drew Lock. And it was interesting because I read his piece, and it you kind of got to get in the weeds a little bit, use your magnifying glass. Do you remember, I know you do, though, back in 2017, the decision? And when Vance Joseph would talk about Paxton Lynch, and then he would talk about Trevor Siemian, with Paxton, it was always referring to the physical attributes. He's tall. He's right. Got a big arm. He's a great athlete. He can get out and run in space. And then when it was Trevor, is he's calculated. He's accurate. He's poised. Like it was these more intangible attributes rather than the measurables, the tangibles. And it was interesting going back and reading Pat Shurmur's quotes on paper instead of just listening live the way that we were, that when he was talking about a Bridgewater, it is a little bit more specific. When he's talking about Drew, he simply said, yeah, he's improved. He's taken the good things that he did a year ago and just kind of build on them. And I think that, again, it's a granular thing, yeah. But I found it interesting.
Looking for all the details. I mean, all the clues, and sometimes you have to do those things to try to get some context of maybe what they're thinking. But you're right. And what does a coach want? I mean, a coach wants a smart player that they can trust, especially a coach that, you know, his job's on the line. I mean, that lends it even more so to, you know, being risk adverse. Follow me?
Yes.
You just want, just give me something solid here, something that I know and I can function around that, but you just can't handle the volatility of the ups and downs. You just can't take that. And so you start reading the clues, you start looking at the situation, and it kind of brings you to Teddy Bridgewater. That's where it brings you now. Still got to go out there, and he's still got to go out there and deliver
of
and
course,
do those things.
Of course,
right? I mean,
of course.
If he's not delivering and doing the things that they expect from him, then no, he won't be the starter. But if he does what they think he should do, and the reason why they brought him here, then you know he's got a leg up in the competition.
I like it. I like it. You can go read that John Clayton's piece at DenverFan.com. All right. The All-Star Weekend here in Denver, Colorado, within the last hour, just got a little bit more interesting.
Ooh.
Details next.
You are listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
6-month All-Star game at Coors Field just got a little bit more interesting. Have you seen this news?
No.
About who's going to join the Home Run Derby?
No.
It came out.
Barry Bonds?
No.
Oh. Thought we might have done like a throwback. McGuire?
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Sosa?
I would love to see those guys take a couple hacks. I don't care how old. Hey, if we're watching Mike Tyson and, you know,
Roy Jones.
Roy Jones Jr. YouTubers. And Evander Holyfield and get into ring with YouTubers. I would love to see Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa swing a baseball bat.
Yeah, why not?
Or Sosa's little hop step out of the box. When it was a no-doubter, he'd just do that little skip.
Absolutely.
Love it. Awesome. McGuire had the old, with the punch in the stomach.
Yeah, it's kind of, it got a little, like, come on. All right, get something new, and then lock arms.
Like two up top,
do the
one
lock,
down low.
I like Tatis, that little stutter step before third.
Yeah.
That's swag. I like that.
Tatis leading Major League Baseball along with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So a couple of juniors. Leading the league in homers.
Love it.
With 22. You know who's after them in home runs? Major League Baseball leaders.
Ryan McMahon.
Nope.
Oh.
Well, I like the thought, though. Shohei Ohtani. While we've been on the air, Shohei Ohtani, the two-way sensation, who is third in Major League Baseball with 19 home runs, has committed to participate in the Home Run Derby.
Oh, wow. Huh.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He'll be the first player to do this as a pitcher. Crazy. Super cool. And that's just right around the corner, Brandon Stokely.
Yeah, it's coming up in July, right?
July.
July what?
It is July 12th and the 13th.
Okay. I mean, that's a great thing for the city. Obviously, great. Everything's opening up. It's going to be a packed house.
Yep.
Love it. Love it. Have a lot of people downtown, a lot of people at the event. So great thing for this city and this state. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. And the fact that Shohei Ohtani, he is transcendent, is going to be in the Home Run Derby. I mean, this is awesome. That place is going to be rocking. Do we know if tickets are on sale yet? Do we know any of that?
Yeah, I think they are, yeah.
I would imagine they are, but I haven't seen like a full-blown campaign about it, so I'm just asking the question. 26-year-old Shohei Ohtani participating in the Home Run Derby. That's pretty cool. It's going to be a bracket of 8 players.
Okay.
He's the first one to commit to it. So, pretty cool. Home Run Derby or Slam Dunk Contest?
Home Run Derby, by far. Slam Dunk Contest back, you know, when it was Jordan, Dominique, and those guys, I would have said Slam Dunk Contest. Now, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't like the car, and you get the dad and the brother out there, and you jump over them, and you're pushing off their back, and I don't like that. But some of the dunks are really cool. I mean, some of them are really good, but they don't get rewarded like the other ones.
Yeah.
So
you got Dominique giving them like a 7.
Right.
Dr. J's like, that's an 8. Like, dude, he just threw it under both of his legs. Like,
yeah, that's pretty difficult.
My thing is there's nothing left. There's like, it's all, but years ago, right. I'd say the slam dunk contest, and it used to be the best players were a part of the slam dunk contest. Your Tracy McGrady's, Vince Carter's, Kobe's, Jordan's, Dominique. Now, you know, it's not so much. It's the highest flyers, but the names aren't there. The star power's not there. All right, so that's pretty cool. Are you going to try to make an effort to be there, whether that's the game or the Home Run Derby?
I would like to go to the – I've been to both, you know, a few years ago in Cleveland. So it's not on my bucket list anymore. So I would – I told you, I'd love to be left field for Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Just getting beat up, trying to get a ball, right? You know, just getting in the mosh pit, getting the elbow to the back of the head, right? You know, jumping up and trying to catch a ball. Falling down, you know, and just like being in there, I would like that. That would be awesome.
It would
Balls
be awesome.
Just like screaming down at you in a mosh pit. You just
it's raining baseball.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I'd like to do that, but those tickets, if you can find them, I'm sure outrageous.
Yeah,
so I probably won't. probably won't happen for me. But you never know. We'll see.
All right.
How about you? Do you plan on trying to get down there?
I'm going to try to make a run at it. I'm going to try to make a run at it. By the way.
I don't understand what that means.
I'm trying to run down there and hang out,
what do you mean make a run at it?
Like, I have a number in my head that I'm willing to spend for a ticket.
Okay.
For either night. And if it gets to be just too exorbitant, I'll say, I'll go downtown and, you know, watch from Blake Street Tavern or something like that. But I want to feel the buzz, you know what I mean? So I'm going to be down there regardless.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of which, holy moly. Last night at Coors Field, you talk about a bad night for the scoreboard operator.
Really?
Have you seen any of this?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
What happened?
Where do I start?
How is it a bad night for the scoreboard operator? All you have to do is push ball strike, you know, run.
Well, this was like the graphics and who's up to bat. So, for instance.
Oh, gotcha.
So, for instance, who was up to bat? It was Tapia was up to bat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. On the screen, it said Garrett Hampson with a photo of Herman Marquez.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how you get it that wrong.
Wow.
But if you got it that wrong,
That
should be the lowest point of the night.
Yeah, that's got to be it, right? I mean, that's three things, 0 for 3 with one guy up to bat.
Twas not.
The operator's winning his best night.
Yeah. Twas not the lowest point.
Really? What was the scoreboard operator guy doing?
Drinking Hennessy.
Oh, drinking that, yeah.
Anything is possible with the scoreboard last night. Because at one point, they're playing the Brewers, and a picture of an Angels player showing up to bat. And then in the field, I swear to God I'm not making this up. Who tweeted this? I liked it. Is it Sabermetrics? Sabermetrics, that's the name of the Twitter account if you want to search out the actual physical graphic. It's hilarious. At one point in the night, the Brewers were up to bat. They had a picture of an Angels player, and on the right side of the scoreboard, they had the diamond and where the players are on defense. They had Nolan playing third.
Oh, no.
And Tony Walters at the plate.
No.
I swear.
Did they have cargo in the outfield?
You cannot make this up. I mean, it was a
Todd Helton at first.
Right.
EY somewhere out on the field.
Oh, my gosh. It was a really
super duper bad.
Yes, thank you, Dana. That was super duper bad day for a scoreboard guy or gal.
You're right.
That's hard to do, man. That's hard to do to make that many mistakes and be that off. What could have caused that? How does that happen?
Don't know.
How?
Don't know.
I mean, this guy knows.
Something like that.
This guy knows what's going on, obviously. He's been doing it all year. So all of a sudden this happens. I got to think it was some kind of glitch in the system that I'm not blaming scoreboard guy for this. This was a glitch in the system. This stuff happens, right? All of a sudden, the wires get crossed, and then just all of it, you know, you got that data in there somewhere, in that computer, gigabytes and RAMs and all that stuff.
The RAMs,
hard drives and all that, you know.
RAMs
you have
were
it
crossed.
In there, and it just kind of screwed up and threw it out there.
Tapia at the plate with a picture of Marquez and the name of...
Yeah, that's...
I forget what name it was, but yeah.
That's crazy. That's not on scoreboard guy. Can't be.
All right. One of our favorite guys in the National Football League media is joining a growing chorus singing the Broncos' praises. Hang tight. Got some audio to bounce off of you coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
I think you and I are both fans of Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network.
Yeah.
We've had him on this show a few times. Would like to have him back on if you'd ever reach out to him. But you have a bit of a personal relationship with him over the years. he's been very generous with his time. Move the Sticks. Move the Sticks podcast. That's his Twitter handle, too. He does a great job. Very diligent. And, you know, yesterday when you were out, Stoke, we played audio of James Jones saying that the Broncos are among the most underrated teams in the National Football League, and he laid out his explanation why. Today, it's Daniel Jeremiah highlighting the Broncos as one of his most improved teams in the National Football League. It was he and Bucky Brooks hanging out on the podcast, and this is what Daniel Jeremiah initially said.
I don't think anybody talks about this team, a little bit off the radar. Last year, the Denver Broncos were 5-11. That's not a 5-11 roster. I know the quarterback thing, and they've got to get Drew Lock playing. They've got some insurance now with Teddy Bridgewater. But when I look at that team, I look at the defensive personnel with Vic Fangio coordinating. I look at Cortland Sutton coming back on offense. I look at drafting Javonte Williams to plug in at running back. The offensive line with Mike Munchak, I think, is a really solid group. It's much improved over the last couple of years. Garrett Bowles just got paid. They're better there. I mean, they've got two tight ends that run 4-4. You know, brought in Fuller, the corner, who's a good player.
Yeah.
Simmons is one of the best safeties in all of football. Kareem Jackson's a great tackling safety. He's a really good force. Like, that's a good football team. Bradley Chubb, and you hope that Von Miller comes back to be what he was. Like, it's a lot of dudes up there.
Sounds like he's been doing the math that Pro Football Focus and some of us here on the fans, once you start to kind of talk about it. Now, I don't know if we're talking ourselves into it, but Daniel Jeremiah seems like he's pretty high on these Broncos.
Yeah, sounds like us talking about the Broncos roster, really. I mean, that's, look, they got a really nice roster, and we keep talking about it, but it's not just us here locally talking about it. You're hearing a national guy that really takes a step back and just has no interest in the Denver Broncos is just going to call it like it is. But when you do go through this roster, there's a lot of nice bright spots here. So it's really, you know, listening to him say what he said, for me, I mean, the excuse game is over here. It's just time to win football games, or it's time to move on. I don't care about injuries. It doesn't matter. What's your wins? What's your losses? And that's what this year is going to be all about. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. I don't care about the quarterback situation. It is what it is. The injury situation, it is what it is. You got a nice roster. You got to win football games this year if you're Vic Fangio. And that's the end of the story. And he knows that. We all know that now. But especially with the roster like he has right now. I mean, goodness. You can't ask for much more. Especially on the defensive side of the football. Like, just don't even worry about offensively, and don't worry about wins and losses defensively. They were loaded last year, and they're loaded again this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's time. It's time to dominate, man. I mean, defensively, you got to go out there. And I keep talking about, you know, I think my expectations are really high for the defense. Keep talking about who they could be last year, and who they should have been last year. And I feel the same way this year. Like, they got to be, you know, a top three defense, top four defense. I mean, they got to be a dominant defense.
Well, you and I reacted to two different pieces of audio that are kind of under the same umbrella. James Jones yesterday, when you weren't here, saying that Broncos are one of the most underrated teams in the league. And he kind of did what, in just a different way, kind of did what Daniel Jeremiah did. It's just like, you know, going from A to B to C to D, and here's why. And you didn't hear the show yesterday.
No.
Too much of it. I basically reacted to James Jones audio the way that you did. Like, first of all, first and foremost, they're saying what we're saying, and you said that. So I'm glad you mentioned that. We are very high on these Broncos from a roster standpoint. Quarterback is the big question mark, of course. But we've kind of had these conversations for a couple years in a row, to be honest.
Yeah.
Kind of had these conversations for a couple years in a row. And maybe it wasn't Daniel Jeremiah and James Jones last year. But who was it last year? Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network. Colin Coward said that the Broncos were going to be the pop team of 2020. There has been optimism surrounding the Broncos for a couple years in a row. They just haven't been able to live up to it. And maybe you could argue that this time around, it's the most tangible, like it's has the most substance to it for the source of that optimism. But you can only be so high on an NFL football team without knowing who's going to be the starting quarterback.
That's true. But like, you can still win football games.
You can still win football games. You definitely can.
And that's just the way it is. You have to win football games, even though we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. But also this year that you had that you didn't have last year, and that, you know, that was the one big hesitation for me, besides looking at the quarterback and what would Drew look like in his first year as being the starter, was just the lack of no offseason with the first year with a new offense for a young quarterback and a young offense and as a whole.
Yes.
Like that was a real, real negative for the Denver Broncos last year. Guess what? Are you going to guess? I'm asking you, guess what?
I didn't know if you were legitimately asking it because it's so open-ended.
Yeah, just guess what?
Just guess what?
Just guess something.
You're going to have a cigar after the show.
Ding, 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 ding. But also, the other thing that I was really looking for was they don't have that this year.
Right.
That they have a whole offseason. They have the coordinator returning. You're back in the same offense. You have, you know, Drew Lock returning for you know, year two under Pat Shurmur. So you have all that. All these young guys are a year older. They're in the same offense, consistency, continuity. So that one huge negative last year, which was a big negative and a big drawback for the Denver Broncos, unfortunately, was that with Pat Shurmur, first year, young offense, you don't have any of that anymore.
No, you're
so
right.
So that's a huge positive. You know, as much as we talked about how difficult those things were to overcome last year, you know, now you have an off season that was cut short one day because we had to have the field day.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have the field day. Ice cream and Papa Shot and golf and
Home Run
Derby, Dunk Tank. Oh, it's always so much fun, you know, dunking the GM. Oh, so cute. But you had a full off season. Kind of. And your year two with an offense this offense is intact from last year to this year. There wasn't a lot of turnover.
No, you're right. And I was just going to point that out. What will the Broncos have this year that they didn't have last year is I don't think there'll be one rookie starter. In fact,
you're talking about offensively?
Offensively. Yeah, I don't think
probably not defensively. I mean, I will see about Pat Surtain, but I mean, defensively, who's going to, you know, he would be the only one.
He would be the only one. But you look at the offense last year, your starting center is a rookie. You know, your number one wide receiver is a rookie.
Yeah.
Your quarterback is a Ben Simmons rookie.
Right.
Really, day one, it was his sixth start of his career, week one last year. So a lot of newness. Now, I don't think one, maybe outside of a Bobby Massey playing right tackle, there's not even really a newcomer that will start on the offense.
Right. Yeah, the right tackle position will probably be a newcomer. Other than that, that's it. Last year we had Melvin Gordon coming in,
yep.
You know, competing with Philip Lindsay, and what would that look like? And you're right. I mean, Drew Lock was pretty much a rookie, so.
And Javonte Williams is going to play, but Melvin Gordon's your starter, at least out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
So a lot of those built-in natural, and I'm not saying it was the Broncos' fault because there were real reasons. Natural reasons / excuses for underperforming, they are just simply not here this time around.
And that's great.
Yeah,
that's great news.
It is great.
You know, expectations should be higher this year than where they were last year.
All right, Stoke, one of your former teammates says there's a way.
And real quick on the James Jones, sorry.
Yeah.
James Jones is good buddies with Aaron Rodgers, right? They're buddies. And if James Jones is talking about how high he is on the Denver Broncos, I mean, don't you think that Aaron Rodgers realizes that and they've talked about that and discussed that, like some of that talent and everything?
Yes.
I didn't hear James Jones' audio, but you can figure that they have talked and discussed that also.
1,000,000%. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, one of your former teammates, and you got a lot of them, probably got 1,000 former teammates, one of your former teammates says there is a way the Packers can make things right with Aaron Rodgers. Is his idea on the table?
Ooh.
I'll tell you who said what coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
One of Stokely's former teammates says that there's a way the Packers can make things right with Aaron Rodgers.
One of my former teammates. Can I guess? Oh, can I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my former teammates said there's a... So this person's probably in the media, okay?
Correct.
There we go. Look at that. Starting off with a check.
There you go, genius.
There we go.
That's the last thing Stokely said to me before we...
Seriously.
Nice job, genius.
Yeah, I mean, because you're like, hey, well, let's start off fast. Well, yeah, duh. It doesn't matter.
About the golf match next week.
If we're playing stroke play or match play, it doesn't matter. You always want to start off fast, and that's what Zach said, because we're playing stroke play, and let's start off fast.
I didn't say let's start off fast. I said let's get up early on someone and suffocate them.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Probably even worse. Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Let's put someone in a hole and discourage them that they can't come back by hole number four. That's all. And that is different than starting fast. That's a fair thought when you give me the news that we're doing stroke play. I can't share that thought. What am I going to say?
Oh, a genius.
My boy's waiting, smart.
Fair enough. Maybe I was a little bit over the top.
You have to swing at every pitch.
Maybe I was a little bit over the top. See, look, I'm manning up to it, okay?
Love it.
I'm manning up. Maybe I was a little bit too aggressive there. Genius. Jeff Saturday?
No.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Who?
He was a... So now I'm going to try to quiz you here.
Okay.
He was a first-round draft pick in the year you came out.
Wow.
99, right?
Yeah.
He was a first-round draft pick. He was the 15th overall pick to the Buccaneers.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was your... Wait. Was he your former teammate?
Oh, goodness. Here we go.
What years were you in Indy again?
03, 04, 05, 06.
You guys spent 1 year together.
Booger?
Yes.
Booger. Booger.
I was going to give you some more clues.
Yeah, no, I got it. Booger, yeah. So we were teammates in Indy.
I thought that because you guys ran into each other out at training camp last year.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
2 years ago.
I really do. I like Booger. He was a good teammate. He's fun. And I enjoyed him. I enjoy his analysis. I think he does a good job. Some people don't, you know, but I think he does a good job.
And he's a Louisiana guy like you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Played at LSU.
Yep. That's right.
Booger McFarland yesterday, or maybe this is even this morning, on ESPN, said that the Packers can make things right with Aaron Rodgers by doing this.
Well, if you think about this, I think we all agree Aaron Rodgers has 3 to 4 high-level years of football left. That would take out the rest of Jordan Love's contract. So theoretically, if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, if he does come back, Jordan Love is not going to see the field anyway. So if you're Green Bay and you want to make this thing right, you trade Jordan Love because he's not going to play anyway. You're going to have Aaron Rodgers playing at a high level for the next 4 years. You give him a 3 to 4 year deal. You sweeten it to $40-45 million a year. He's the highest paid quarterback in football, and your quarterback position is solved for the next 4 years, and you show to Aaron publicly, hey, we made a mistake. We're not going to fire the GM, Brian Gutekunst, but what we'll do is we'll trade Jordan Love, we'll move on, we will let you dictate the end of your career, and we will prepare for the future when the future gets here.
Okay.
What do you make of that?
Maybe that works. I think at this point, you know, you got to kind of pick your lane. I mean, what do you want to do if you're Green Bay? Do you want to commit to Aaron for the next 3 or 4 years? Do you want to see Jordan Love at some point? Like, how are they viewing this situation? How do they view Jordan Love? Do they think he has a chance? They think he has a chance. They're probably not going to make that move. They probably wouldn't trade him. But I mean, you hear reports of him struggling out there, and are they willing to admit that mistake? Are they willing to go that? I mean, that's like really, in a big way, you're trading this guy after, you know, just over a year after drafting him.
Moving up for him.
Moving up and drafting him in the first round. And you are really just owning it and just saying, we screwed up in a big way. When was the last time something like that happened, you know, with, from a general manager and organization? I can just think of one. One came to mind, and it's not similar to this because it's a different position, but still it's kind of what? You're looking at me like you want to guess.
Well, yeah.
I can see.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Partners.
Yep.
We're in the same
yep.
building, and we get to visualize things now. That's why I'm in the building now. Visualization.
Great to have you back.
Yes, go ahead.
And
I don't think you can get this.
An organizational admission that they were wrong. Well, I don't know if this one is perfect, but the Broncos asking Von Miller to take a pay cut, Von saying no, and then paying him anyway.
That's a good one.
That was very unusual.
Yeah. No, we're just kidding. Wait, we really didn't want you to. You don't want to? No, I don't want to take a pay cut. Okay, cool. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
That was the most awesome negotiation in the history of negotiations.
Just kidding. I mean, you call their bluff, and then they don't. Like, if you get your bluff called, you got to be ready to do something. Right?
Or you typically don't even approach it.
Right.
So that's.
But good for Von. He called their bluff, and they sat down.
Yep. Crazy. I can't remember that happening.
No, certainly not. Mine was the...
Hold on. Let me still guess. Give me a hint.
Okay. It involved Tampa.
Hmm.
It's a little bit unorthodox here.
Them saying that they didn't want Antonio Brown and then Brady pressing for it and them still signing him.
No.
Not bad, though, right? Come on. Partial credit?
No, this has more to do with, because that's not really admitting a mistake there. That's not really owning a mistake. I'm looking at it from an organization that does a move like that, where you draft somebody, then you just say, screw it, we really screwed up, Aaron, we're sorry.
Oh, I may know it. I may know it.
We don't have all day, Zach. This isn't like, you know, us, you know, okay, go, last chance.
Tampa. In the second round, drafting Young Wei Koo, and then the next year, cutting him.
Yes.
This guy just said Young Wei Koo.
Yes.
You got the wrong kicker, but yes, you got it. You said Young Wei Koo.
Oh,
Young
Wei Koo.
Yes, you said Young Wei Koo. You said Young Wei Koo, Zach. Come on.
By the Chargers. Roberto Aguayo.
Oh, my goodness. What a mess of a segment. We apologize.
No, I don't apologize. No, we're submitting this one for an award.
I apologize for Zach. I've been doing a great job over here on my side.
Roberto Aguayo, statistically the most accurate kicker in the history of college kickers, and then he forgot
to
kick.
Where did he go to college? Extra credit.
Central Florida?
Florida State, close enough. I mean, the way you're going right now, that's...
Hey, yeah. I got partial credit
right,
all around.
The way you're going right now, that's a check for that. Yes. I mean, you just
Friday?
Look at you.
Let's
Holy
go.
Cow.
Keep your head up, baby. Like your nose.
Thank you, Antonio. You were one of my answers in the segment.
Yes.
Thank you,
AB. But do you see how they had to really admit they moved up in the second round? I think they gave up. I mean, they gave up a premium pick.
Yeah.
And they take this kicker, and then after 1 year, they just like threw their hands up. We really screwed up.
Yeah.
We're moving on from this guy before he costs us more games. And so...
I have a better example than that one.
Okay. We'll see. Not holding my breath.
At the quarterback position, in the last 4 years.
Quarterback position, the last 4 years.
Just admitting your mistake. Just taking your medicine.
Oh, yes. I got it. Yep. Cardinals, Josh Rosen.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Drafted him in the first round. Yeah. I think they took him like 13th or something like that. The next year they cut bait.
That's right. Really just admitting how much of a mistake that was, but also like you have the number one overall pick. So It's almost like nothing to see here. Here's Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And you forget about Josh Rosen,
yeah.
right? Just like if Aaron Rodgers balls out for the next 4 years, you forget about who is that? Jordan who?
Right.
Yeah, that was weird. It happened. It was awkward. And then they just moved on. And
We won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We don't care. So if you play well and you do a lot of good things and things work out, you win football games, all that other stuff just becomes like whatever. It's lost. It's just lost forever. Nobody even cares about that.
Yep.
That was funny, man. Man, you screwed that up. But we won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Like Jason.
It's all good.
Weird
spelling. I think it's Jason Light. Honestly.
Yeah. L-I-C-H-T.
Yeah.
Like? How is that like?
I think it's just Light.
In there. That's like Zach with a K spelled with a C. Huh?
Well, the C and the K makes the same noise. You're caught up on the H.
That's the H and the K.
Yeah.
Yes. Zach was
technically
the H.
Should be Zach.
Right. Right. So it's lick. Licked?
It's light.
Like?
It's light.
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 Jason Light.
Jason Light.
Hey, you moved up and you picked a kicker in the second round. You picked
right.
a premium pick.
Right.
And then on top of that, who cares? Because you end up getting Tom Brady and you win a Super Bowl.
And that's all that matters.
No, nobody cares about
right.
what happened before.
There's no apologies.
I did all these other great things and,
right.
and then all of a sudden, who cares about me screwing up the whole kicker thing?
Right.
Nobody even cares
nope.
anymore. I won a Super Bowl just like Stokely won. KKFN. KKFN. HD1 Longmont Denver. You aren't going to shut me out.
I knew that.
The world knew that. Our listeners knew that. It has never happened. It won't ever happen. So
I'm literally watching the seconds and just waiting for a breath.
Yeah.
But you were on it.
I was on it today.
You were on it.
I was on it for a Friday. You know, long week. Felt good. But that's what it's all about, though. You can screw things up just as long as you win. You know, when general managers, like, they miss on these draft picks. Hey, it doesn't matter. Peyton Manning's covering up for you.
Right.
You know, who cares if you missed on that left tackle, that left guard? You're still winning football games. That's what it's all about. So, We'll see what eventually happens there in Green Bay. You know, if they do decide to do something like that, will that even appease Sir Aaron Rodgers?
I like that, Sir Aaron.
You know, will that even appease, like, who knows?
So,
he is one of those guys that might not even work for him.
Guess what? I literally think this might backfire if they went about it this way. Because his whole thing is the organization, the Packers organization, they forgot about the people. They forgot about what makes it up. What has he also said? This is not about Jordan Love. I could see Rodgers, and if you're just joining us, we're reacting to Booger McFarland's laying out this idea that the Packers, what they need to do, sign Aaron up to a new contract, 45 a year, trade Love, and make it all good. And I think Aaron might say, look, why would you do that to that kid? You drafted that kid, you wanted to be the plan, and you're hoping to appease me by trading him away, and this is what's wrong with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly. He's that type of guy. I think also one of the things in this that has made him upset. You ready for this? You gotta put your thinking cap on.
Okay.
I think he's upset that Jordan Love stinks.
You think Aaron Rodgers is upset that Jordan Love stinks?
Yeah, you moved up to get this guy, and he's not even good. And he's not even good. He stinks. I think that pisses him off.
Huh.
Yeah. Put that one in your back pocket.
See here. My replacement stinks. That should make someone happy.
Right. Not Aaron Rodgers.
But he's like... And these are the guys that are leading this organization.
Right.
You think this guy is going to fill my shoes?
Yeah. At least bring in somebody that's good. Because I was once in this situation, and it worked out pretty well for us. But you did all of that, and you don't give me help, and this guy stinks? Like, if you got at least brought someone good there and be like, all right, yeah, this guy's pretty darn good.
Right, okay, I see why
y'all did that.
Man, that's interesting.
But you moved. Did they move up?
They did for Jordan Love.
Yeah, you moved up in a historic wide receiver class. You got me no wide receiver. and then you drafted a quarterback that's awful.
Interesting. Very interesting thought.
Tell me where you've heard that.
I have not.
Of course. You only get it here, noon to three.
Love it. Love it. Someone says they just made $20 by Stokely not getting shut out on the station ID. That's from Isaiah.
There you go, Isaiah. I got your back. I got your back, Isaiah. You know it. I know it. There was going to be a W this week.
We got action on the action.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Because we are action.
That's tremendous.
That's what happens. It is tremendous. Love it. People are throwing down who's going to get the station ID.
All right. You can't make that up.
Love it. Appreciate you, Isaiah. 720.
We're getting other suggestions on how organizations have just waved their hand and say, we made a massive mistake. Whether they fall into the layout that Booger McFarland did on ESPN this morning on how it would just be a massive admission that they should have never drafted Jordan Love. They trade him away. They pay Aaron Rodgers, new contract, all as well. This is how it can work. Someone said Isaiah Wilson and the Tennessee Titans. He kind of forced their hand in that. So, he just wasn't, of sound mind. So he kind of forced their hand in that. But we had a couple people. Matt Flynn might be another good one when they paid him a bunch of money and then started a rookie in Russell Wilson instead. Seattle Seahawks.
Russell Wilson ended up being great.
Yep.
Obviously. So it makes that easy, right?
Yep, no one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
I think it's a little bit different. I mean, they didn't commit really long term to a guy like Matt Flynn. They committed, 1 year really to him, I believe, money wise. So it wasn't like that big of a hit to him. I don't think they weren't making him their franchise quarterback. He was going to be a stopgap guy. So I think that's a little bit different. It's easy to move away from Matt Flynn.
Well, right? They paid him quite a bit of money though, did they not?
I mean, what's quite a bit in terms of, quarterback money? I mean, what was it?
One year?
Is that all he got? I don't know.
I thought it was like for $100 million.
Come on.
It was like $19 million.
There you go. Something like that. Which isn't crazy.
No, it's not. It was based off one game, right, for the Packers. He threw like seven touchdowns in a game.
Pretty much.
It was $200 million.
$250 guaranteed. But yeah, I mean, there's some good ones out there. Isaiah Wilson, I mean, you drafted a guy in the first round and you cut him a year later. I mean, that's really taking, like, look at us. We really screwed this thing up. But it's not going anywhere. That's the thing. If the guy doesn't play for you, those questions are going to continue to be asked. Like, man, you screwed this up. So sometimes if you just get rid of it, the quicker you get rid of it, the quicker it goes away and the distraction goes away. So that's, the approach that you should take. And it's easier and easier. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Patrick Reed just missed a 3-foot birdie putt, and now if he misses this one, he might miss the cut on the last hole here.
Who's that there?
Patrick Reed.
Is it, he's the American that people don't like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Likes to cheat every now and then.
Eh.
He doesn't like to steal Rain's balls, but he just, just like move some sand.
I'm not like stealing sand. Them.
You're just borrowing them.
Yeah.
Is that what, yeah.
I need them.
Yeah, like I saw Zach grabbing the Rains balls, and I was like, bro, no, those are for you to hit here. He's like, well, I only got 14 balls in my bag. I might need a few more today. I'm just going to borrow these Rains balls. No, you can't do that.
That literally happened.
Yes.
I'm not
making that up. This was.
Speaking of golf, Michelob Ultra presents the Fans Match Challenge powered by the CoBank Colorado Open and benefiting the First Tee, Green Valley Ranch. It is 6 days away. We are going to go head-to-head with Schlereth and Evans and Orlando and Sandy and Tyler and D-Mac.
He just three-putted. Speaking of golf, he just three-putted from 3 feet away.
My God. It's falling apart. It's next Thursday.
Next Thursday?
Yep. Raising funds for the First Tee Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged youth in our own community learn life skills through golf. So a great cause. The show that raises the most funds gets 2 mulligans. We need it to be us, all right? Great cause. Hopefully you think it's a great show. We'd love your support. You can donate now at denverfan.com/match. And my boss, Raj Sharon, just came in here and sat down which is very unusual.
It is unusual. Well, I do have some good news for you guys as it relates to what you were just talking about, Zach, and that is that our parent company, Bonneville, just made a $500 donation to the First Tee Green Valley Ranch in the name of the show of Stokely and Zach.
Hey.
Let's go! So, I hope you guys win. There's no way I would ever give the same speech to all of my other shows, right? Only you guys. So I hope you win. But let's see. Let's see which show raises the most.
Awesome.
Love
awesome.
It. Love it.
Got a
love
$500
we need
donation.
The mulligans. We might need more than two, but hey, that's nice.
That's real nice. That's real nice. All right, great cause. You can donate now at denverfan.com/match. All right, here's a question for you. How much of a vote does Pat Shurmur get in this quarterback competition? And an interesting follow-up as it relates to Pat Shurmur's future. We'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.